I was going to ask to use Matt's Bible this morning, but it's so scribbled up, I don't think I could read it. So. Listen to what the Word says today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. I'm reading Ephesians 1, 3 to, behind me, sorry, 3 to 14. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory.
I can read my Bible. No, it is kind of messy. I get excited and then I start circling stuff. So, it's good for me. It reminds me when I make different highlights. And then after time, then I don't remember why I made that highlight green or that one orange or purple. But I'm like, oh, it had to have been something though, because it's highlighted. So Len spoke last week, and then the week before that, I started in Ephesians, and we're going to keep going through Ephesians for the next little while. And as we do, if you have the ability to read your Bible, listen to your Bible, do so. And if you can, throughout the week, day after day, if you want to do it each day, I know Rachel's been doing it with the kids, our kids, just reading every day, reading through Ephesians. They read, she reads back and forth, or I do, I've done it as well with them. And it's good just to have that word flow into our minds and to see it on paper. If you can, if you have the ability to read, to see, or just to listen is fine too. But we need to have the word pouring into our daily lives. And a couple weeks ago, Ephesians, I kind of just blew this. Connie had read the scripture a couple weeks back, and we went a little further, and we went to verse 23, right to the end of chapter 1. And I kind of just blew it open a bit that week and brought out a few different things that are there. And there's a lot of information in Ephesians chapter 1. And everything in it is good. And just before we started too this morning, Rachel talked about taking a time of quiet. And it was pretty funny because just before that I was thinking we should just take a moment of time of silence and just let the Lord, or give ourselves to the Lord, I should say, and just ask him to open our minds and our hearts. So thanks, Rachel, for doing that too. And thank you for Jeff. Thank you for reading. And thank you everyone else who has participated here this morning. And everyone who is here this morning, I thank you that you're here and the Lord has you here because he wants you here. So let's pray again and then we'll read together some more. Father, I thank you that we again have this opportunity to look together as a family into Ephesians. chapter 1, into these verses. And I ask that your word would be illuminated to us, that it would come to life to us, and that we could live it out in our lives before the unsaved and before the saved, and that we would have confidence for the day that you would return, and that we would have confidence in the seal that you've put upon us with your Holy Spirit. And that we would not let the lies of Satan filter into our mind, telling us that we cannot have confidence, because we can. We can have confidence that we are saved. So help us to remember that as we study through this, and as we leave here today, and as we go into our separate lives of our work and friends and family and neighbors. In Jesus' name, open our eyes now. Amen. So, I'll just tell you right now, a few points that I want to get to is chosen, stamped, impression, instrumental union, third. I'll start over again. First one will be chosen. The second point I'll get to is stamped impression. And the third is instrumental union with a seal. The fourth will be what are we chosen for? And the fifth with a seal. So the last one will be with a seal. If you didn't notice in the picture in the background here, there is this stamp over here on the left. I'm going to talk about it a little later. But it has a point and a purpose. You'll find out soon. So, from verses 3 to 14, we find the words blessed. So as you go through, as Jeff read this morning, blessed is in there, chosen is in there, predestined, adoption, redemption, obtained inheritance, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, and a guaranteed inheritance. All that is packed in there. Lots of foundational truths for us as Christians. So that's in those verses. It's all put in there. Not packed in there, but it's all there. All those are in there, are within verses 3 to 14. And my mind just left me. Lots of foundational truths. This guaranteed inheritance is greater than anything this world can offer. The world does not see the hidden inheritance we have and that we possess and that we have been given because of spiritual eyes. Because they do not have spiritual eyes, they will not see the inheritance that we have. Over the years, there has been men and women who have given up their lives because they believed of something greater that was awaiting them. I don't know if you've ever heard of Vivia Perpetua. I think it was in around 60 AD or 30 AD. I can't remember the exact date. But I often think about her when I go into hard situations and how she was thrown into the Colosseum in Rome and she was given to the beasts. But her desire was to live for God. Her child was taken from her, but her desire was to live for God. She wanted to serve her Lord. She was not willing to offer up incense to the sacrifices that they wanted her to do so. She was not willing to offer up incense to fake gods. And she died for it. But her inheritance was greater than here. She died physically here, but she has a heavenly inheritance. And as we do, those who are saved as well have a heavenly inheritance that awaits us because we're sealed and approved by God. A guarantee that lasts beyond anything that we can truly imagine, anything in this world. It lasts beyond that. And no beast could take it from her. And no person can take the inheritance that we have. They cannot take it from us. Satan can lie to us and want us to believe lies, but he cannot even take the inheritance that we have. So something I spoke about this last 2 weeks ago was sinners' response to God's grace. And it was off of how we respond and how we're chosen. So verse 4, Ephesians 1 verse 4, it says, I want to read to you first. Even as he chose us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. God chose us before the foundation of the world in order that what was done in past would be fulfilled in future. God's grace is not on the basis of our own doing. The undeserved gift of God is truly a gift. We can't deny the fact. He chose us for His good purpose and His good plan. We cannot forget this. We must not forget that. When we were given grace, we can know that God had established that we would be used by Him. Why are we chosen? We are chosen for a purpose. For God's glorious purpose. By becoming blameless through the blood of Christ and holy through regeneration. If we are chosen, then we find the word election to be of high importance. Election is onto something that possesses great obligation. When a sinner responds to grace of God, he is not going against man's will. No, on the contrary. He is acting in response to grace that wills him to respond to that grace given by God. God's divine sovereignty and man's responsibility will always be something of infinite, will be something our finite minds will fathom over. We may debate on this with others, but it does not mean that we're not sealed. We are sealed. I think when we get to heaven, sovereignty and man's responsibility will be answered at the very moment that we walk into the presence of God. We will never be able to deny the fact that both man's responsibility, though, now for us here, we will not be able to deny the fact that both man's responsibility and God's sovereignty will be found throughout Scripture. You'll see it all through. And both are essential and beneficial, and both are true. Both need to be seen and both need to be used so that we can grasp and understand. And God's choosing us, we are met with our responsibility and God's sovereignty. Just look at verse 13 here again. Chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth," so there's a hearing that's happening, right? There's a physical, "the gospel of your salvation, and believed," a believing on your part, "were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit," the stamp of approval. The gospel is presented in that verse for us to see what we are brought into. A seal makes an impression. And those who have believed have been stamped and sealed with the Holy Spirit, which now dwells within us. I believe Len talked about it last week a bit too, about the Spirit within us. And the Spirit gives us the ability to go out and do. The Spirit now dwells within all who have found favor in the eyes of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the part that I love, though. "But if we happen to fall into sin," I like what Charles Spurgeon says. Charles Spurgeon stated in the Treasury of David on Psalms 25, "It is the mark of a true saint." So if you are a true saint, it is the mark of a true saint. "And an impression is made when we are stamped with the approval of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. It is a mark of a true saint that his sorrows remind him of his sins, and his sorrow for sin drives him to his God." So if we fall into temptation, we have the ability to be driven to God because of our desire for God, because of the work of the Holy Spirit within us. So if we fall into temptation, we can come to him knowing that he will forgive us and redeem, or already has redeemed us, but will forgive us. Marked and chosen by God to be found blameless before him, predestined and adopted into a family of God according to God's planned will in past. When you speak of the grace of God to another person, do you see yourself as a sinner saved by grace? Just like the woman at the well, she left her water bucket, she found living water. She voiced that Jesus told her everything that she did. She voiced it to the people. She wasn't afraid of the people. She knew she was forgiven. If you have been saved, you have been chosen for a good purpose, to be holy and blameless in His eyes. If you are not saved, you have the opportunity to meet God with grace, with His grace. You have the opportunity to meet with Him. For Jesus is the truth and the life. Jesus is the only way to the Father. So if you do not know Him, do not reject God's grace. Confess your sin to God and ask for forgiveness, and you will become a part of the household of God. It is a family, and we're brought in to unity with the family of God. So stamped impression. Next point. If you have a bulletin, grab them. On your bulletin, some have an impression on them, and some do not. So if you have, there is like the first impression there that you can't really feel anything. It's just the picture in the background, the red one, the stamp of approval. But then there's another one. There's another stamp. There's a seal. And I'm not sure how it is in yours, but it says Creston Baptist Church. So those ones who have that stamp, you're saved and you're okay. But the rest, no, I'm just kidding. Some of them do, some of them don't. But if you do have it, just feel how the impression is there. And that's actually from this stamp that's in the background here. That was from that stamp. Connie had did that for me this week. Put it on some of them and some of them not. But that stamp is there because I wanted you to feel the difference and some of you not to feel the difference, so that you could just understand how when God stamps us, it is fact. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. There's no questions. There's no, oh, maybe, I don't know. We're sealed. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you don't have the one that has the impression, you could ask somebody else and feel theirs, and you might feel okay then or something. But and this doesn't say that now we should go out and get a tattoo so that we can see the impression on us so that we can know that we're saved. That's not what this is saying as well either. That's not what I'm saying either. I know there might be many different views on tattoos. But we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And it leaves an impression, as this bulletin did. There's an impression left. There's a change. There's something different with us. The difference is seen on this paper. There's a change. There's a change in our life. There's a change in our ways. There's a change in our direction. We go a new way instead of our old ways. Anyone can say they're a Christian. This is something actually to go along with what my wife often says to me. Not to me specifically that it's me, but anyway, anyone can say that they're a Christian. Someone can just say, I'm a Christian. Some people have big mouths and they can talk a lot. But just because a parrot can talk does not give it the right to be a human. And it is true. It is very true. We can teach parrots to talk. People can parrot what they've heard. It doesn't mean that they're saved. There is a work that the Spirit does within our lives that makes us different than the world. Amen. And it's not that we're now something so great that we're better than other people to be boastful over them. It's to know that we have an eternal kingdom that awaits us because we're sealed by God. Amen. When God seals you, there is a guarantee into His inheritance, into the inheritance that we've been given. No human can take that inheritance away, as I've said before. Satan cannot steal your salvation. He can't. He doesn't have the power to do so. If you lose the stamp bulletin this week, it does not mean you no longer have salvation. So you're okay. If it does get lost, and maybe you could call your other friends and say, can I have one of those bulletins again? Or you could come to the church building. There could be another bulletin. And I could put a stamp on there for you too if you need, if yours doesn't have the impression. But honestly, Something that we were talking about in college and career actually is one that we've been doing, going through the attributes of God. I think I've said this before. But it was just when Steve Lawson said that Satan is not like God, where he can be everywhere. God can be everywhere. Satan cannot. And he has his little minions that go about and do his work. And they're set in place. He can only do what God lets him do. He can't do anything beyond that. He's not greater than God. God has already won the victory. Christ won it through his own death. So he has no power other than what God gives him. But when we're sealed by God, it is a stamp of approval. Amen. The seal displays the authority of the one who put the impression there. Like a king. When he seals that letter, his stamp of approval, maybe through a ring, however the mark happens. But when a king seals the letter that's sent out, it's known that the king agreed to what is written in that. So we have that same on us. Esther 3:12, you can really read through it there. And if you have time this week, read through Esther and just see how the stamp is there. Esther chapter 3, and then in Esther chapter 8, there's two differences there to look at what happened with the seal of approval, just for your own time to dig into and your own thoughts. If we have been sealed and stamped, we are now under a new master with an inheritance greater than anything this earth can offer. We can be left inheritances by our family, and that's all fine and good, but there is a greater inheritance that we have, a new master that will never leave us nor forsake us. Because of his seal, through his Holy Spirit, we know we have been chosen and predestined, adopted, redeemed in order to reflect the glory of God to all the world. Our God we serve is not bound by flesh, for death could not hold him. Death could not hold Christ. He rose from the grave. He died physically, and then he rised. God is not a maybe God. Maybe I will do this or that. Let me think about it a little bit. He does not decree his will and then go, oops, that's not exactly what I wanted to do. I kind of messed up there. That's not the God that we serve. He doesn't mess up. He never messes up. He does not create us and then say, well, for example, he doesn't create Bob and then place him somewhere in the world and say, whoops, I was actually wanting to put him over there in northern Canada, but I put him over here in Thailand. There's no whoopses with God. No whoopses with the God that we serve. What he does for his good pleasure. And he does not look to us before he plans his ways. He plans his ways. He is above all and holds all things together for his good pleasure. That brings me great joy, because I know when I can come to him in prayer, I know that he hears me. Because of the sealed Holy Spirit. Next point, instrumental union with a seal. We have become instruments in a union with Christ with a seal. An unsaved person's interests are earthly because his mind lives on earth. It's earthly minded. For us, the Christian possesses a mind and life that is centered around its heavenly citizenship. For example, in Philippians 3:20, if you just flip over. If not, you can listen with your ears. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. He can do above and beyond us. That's not the one. Something's wrong here. What did I say? I said Ephesians, right? Or did I say Philippians? That's why. There we go. but our citizenship, we got it. Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I was scared there. I was like, what's going on here? Was Scripture wrong? No, I was. But our citizenship is in heaven. It is a heavenly citizenship, and from it we await a Savior. He's coming back. We are saved, we're sealed, but he's coming back. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Why do we await a Savior if we have been saved already? What's the point then? Why would we wait? We wait for the day that Jesus comes in all his glory, and we meet him glorified in new bodies, where there will be no more sadness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more anxiety, no more stress, no more hurt, no more murder, no more lies, no more bitterness, no more deceitful talk, no more self-condemning words. Verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1. Let's make sure we're right here, hopefully. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Because of our predestined adoption as sons, we are no longer slaves. We have been adopted into the household of the family of God, and our future adoption will come. That future adoption will come. There is an adoption that happens within the family of God, a presence that is happening right now, but there is a future adoption that is coming as well. Verse 11 of Ephesians. In him we have obtained an inheritance, an obtained inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose to him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Romans 8:22-23 states, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. Verse 23. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, what I just talked about earlier. And we will be glorified bodily upon the return of our Savior Jesus Christ. And upon Christ's return, all will publicly see our adoption. Everyone around will see the adoption that we had. So now, what are we chosen for? Let's look at verse 13. And let's read it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, I love this, your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You heard and you believed, and you became sealed. Now that we are made holy and living holy lives, we will reflect back the glory of God to all those around us. There's a face change. There's something different that happens within us when we're saved. The beauty of a saved individual is displayed outwardly by spiritual work that has to happen and will happen. Outside, physically, we will do something different, but then inside, there is a spiritual work that goes on within us. And we know that we're saved. We know that we're sealed because we abide in the vine. We have become the branches, and he is the vine. We will produce righteous fruit through the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have the branch. We have the vine. The fruit that comes will be because of the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Romans 8:30 states, I just love Romans in general too. I love all the Bible, but Romans 8 really gets my mind going. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. This is Romans 8:30. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. The predestined, called, justified, glorified ones are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Predestined. So when we're saved, we will resemble Christ. Romans 8:29. And then, we who have believed through the word have been given glory as the Father gave glory to his Son. We are given glory through Christ. John 17:22 states, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Along with 1 John 2:24, "Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father." We are made right in order to glorify God, for the glory of God has been bestowed on us. It is an amazing thing. We have been given power by God through the Holy Spirit, and it is bestowed upon us, and it indwells us through the Holy Spirit. We have a seal of a guarantee. We can easily leave here today and forget this. We can walk out of here and go, okay, well, that was, yeah, that's a good point. I understand what you're saying, Pastor Matt. Yes, we're sealed. Okay. And we can leave here and we can just go and live our lives and just live regular lives and be happy and content and never choose to tell anyone the good news. But when we've been changed, our desire is to tell the good news. And it's not that we're going to say perfect. We're not going to say everything perfect because we're not perfect people. But when the work of the Holy Spirit is within us, there is a desire that wells up within us that we want to say. And there's sometimes we don't say anything and we think, I should have said something. But there is a desire within us that wants us to say something because we see the goodness that we've been given by God because of an inheritance that awaits us. Are we afraid to share? Yes. We're afraid. At times, maybe you're not. I know I get fearful. A chosen, sealed people with an inheritance that was predestined by God in accordance with God's will. Chosen by God to glorify his name. Back in verse 4, let's read that again. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Blameless before him in love. He makes us blameless. That is why we can come to him and confess our sin if we see ourselves or if we have fallen into sin. We who have been saved would be holy and blameless. What a gracious and magnificent God we serve. Before he created the world, he decided that everyone who was saved by his grace was to be holy and blameless. Before the foundation of the world, he decided that those who were saved would be holy and blameless because of the work of Christ. We must understand this, and we must be reminded of how great God's saving work and seal of approval is. Before we move further into the book of Ephesians, we need to grasp this, that if you are sealed by him, you're sealed. It's fact. So when we move into the other places within Ephesians, how we live a new life, how there is unity in the body of Christ, and how we can love our wives, how children can obey their parents. If we see, first of all, that we're approved and sealed by God, we can then live out those aspects by the work of the Holy Spirit within us because of the seal. So with our seal, next point, we in some sense have tasted of the heavenly kingdom through the sealed Holy Spirit. We have been given an assurance in the Spirit through the Spirit. We have gained a life with the Spirit. We now abide in God and he in us. My seal grants me new hope, new direction, new joy, new purpose, new plans, new glory, new. Everything's just new. My identity is no longer my own identity. The life I live is to the glory of God, my Savior. We have a finished transaction. We have a distinguished ownership of God. He is our owner. He is our master. We were redeemed with a great price and purpose. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." John 14:16 to 17, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you, and you in him. The Spirit resides in us. I am the Father because the Father is in me." 1 John 4:13 to 15. And then it states, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he is God." Not he is God. And he in God. Let's get that right. He is not God because of the work of God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. Amen. And he in God. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for your word that we can study through, that we can dig deep into. I thank you for this opportunity this morning to share this message with your people. And I just ask, if there is anyone here who is questioning their salvation or has never believed in you, that they would come to you, that they would come to the cross, they would bow before you and confess their sin and know that their sin will be forgiven, that you will not remember it anymore. You will not hold it over them, gloating it over them. You're not a God who says, "Oh, you messed up now. I'm going to hold this over you again." No, you're a God who is gracious and merciful and loving and caring and just. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.